Talking with
Mark.
Mark, we're here in front of Borders, but you said yesterday you were in front of Pacific Trading Company, just a few storefront fronts down, and you got some rather rude reception from the police?
Yeah, they approached me, and they said that we're not going to give you a ticket right now. And I thought, what do you mean? What did I do? You know? And the guy says, you know damn well what you did, and it was a noise complaint. And I said, I'm not making noise. I'm not saying anything to anybody. I'm just sitting here doing my thing. And he says, oh, well, with the guitar, you're making noise with the guitar. And I said, so you're trying to tell me that you think, in your opinion or whatever, that it's that I'm making noise. So I'm saying to you that this is very insulting to me, that you're saying that my music is noise, and I don't have to believe it or cop to it or anything, and you're trying to tell me to get up and move along anyway. And then you're calling my music noise anyway. And everybody damn well knows out here that I don't play schlocky bullshit, that whatever. You know, I'm not included with the people that don't know how to play music. I consider myself one that...
How long have you been playing music, Mark?
Out here since about 84.
So you have been around for almost 20 years now.
Yeah, they wanted to know whether I was local, and I said yes. And then they want to know how long I've been living here. And I said, well, since about 84. And then I realized that this is a psychological profile that they're doing instantly on me right there. Oh, this guy's a local. Oh, he's been here a long time. Let's see how much of an attitude he's got. So as soon as they found out that I've been an old timer around here for a long time, then they started to really tighten the screws up on me and, you know, just trying to just be real silent and hover over me. And I was putting the guitar away, and I looked up at him. I said, I'm getting out of here. And they just hovered and looked over me again. And I think they're waiting for me to actually physically get up and leave and stuff. And it's very insulting to take that walk of shame after you're being asked to shoo, you know, being shooed along. I do not like that walk of shame. So I turn around, and I'm trying to take the walk of shame, and they make it worse. The cop goes,
and have a good day.
Like that. Boy, that really got my dinner. Why don't they just let me go? No, they got to rub my nose in it. So I turned around and I told the cop, excuse me, officer, I hope you don't crash on your bike, officer, whatever the fuck your name is. And he tells me, oh, well, Officer Sprague, badge number. I thought, I don't care who you are. Just.
Had you seen him before? Was he a newcomer or an old-timer?
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever seen those two. Yeah, they're usually rookies and new to me.
What time of day was it?
I think it was around 3:30 something.
Was it Wednesday, yesterday, or was it before then?
It was the day before yesterday.
Tuesday?
Yeah. And, you know, I was only there, I swear to God, I was only there for 3 minutes, and I'm looking at cops telling me they're not going to give me a ticket. What the hell is this getting to out here?
Harassment of poor people, musicians, political activists, anybody that they think don't belong, or, and they just sort of, you know, but, Had they told you to move along before this? Had you ever got any crap from
them? Yeah, that seems to be a sore spot on the mall. That I kind of wondered why some of the musicians were like playing under the parking garage and stuff like that, and why the same kind of notorious couple guys that are sort of like rivals of mine, and they weren't playing in this spot. It's like the prime spot, but I found out that they don't play there either because they've been shoot along so many times that it's just impossible. That's one of those places that's a circle with a red X in it. You just can't, it's illegal to play there.
Across the street, Officer Bynes and Sergeant McPhillips are walking by. I take it wasn't one of those two cops?
No.
And there's a new move-along law which says you have to move every hour or some, if you have a display.
Yeah,
have they tried that on you?
They sort of tried to mention something about an hour, you know, but she couldn't enforce it because she knew damn well that I'd only been there a few minutes.
Plus, you didn't have a display device. I mean, display device is a table or something like that.
Oh, no, I didn't have...
You have to move your display device, but you can play music any length of time, anywhere you want, if you're not doing it for money. If you're doing it for money, you...
Here's the rule. I know it because I'm a musician. The rule is, if you have a spot and another musician wants to play in that spot, then you have an hour left. And that's the only time that little rule comes into effect. And this is a rule between musicians. It has nothing to do with the Downtown Association. It has nothing to do with the cops. And they all use this little hour rule against us. It's our rule, not theirs.
You're here. Those are the street performers' guidelines. I'm glad to hear that they continue to be remembered and honored, not by the police, but by the musicians. Thank you, Mark. Anything else you want to say for Free Radio? Mark True is considering a lawsuit against the city for arresting him for displaying his CDs, and I would think also for just trying to play music.
Oh, me? CDs?
No, I mean, you want to get in touch with him, I'm just saying that...
No, but I do feel that my civil rights are being violated by these people because I brought up to him, I said, you know, this is America. I feel that it's a free country, and I should be able to do some things that I feel like doing without being oppressed by them, you know. And I have rights, and they informed me that I wasn't the only one that had rights. Other people have the right to complain against me, see?
Well, you know, one thing you can do, if either of these two officers involved, by the way, the ones you see walking by?
Yeah, actually, I think maybe those were the ones, yeah.
Male officer and a female officer were the ones who...
They kind of look like that, but the male officer's on a blue police bike.
Well, you know, you have the option to say to the officer, here's what you can do. You can say, officer... I'm going to play music here, and I'd like you to tell me if you think it is excessive noise. And you start playing. And the officer says, well, no, but the other people might think so.
Yeah.
You say, well, if the other person feels it's excessive noise, let them make a citizen's arrest.
Well, see, this thing is that you look around the mall, you see every door. See how every door's open? You kind of, you know, not everyone, but they don't open them at Borders Books because people want to read in there. But if you look at the, what's it called, East-West Trading Company?
Pacific Trading Company.
Yeah. They always have their doors open. And I have the philosophy that if a person wants to own a business on the mall, why are they so damn surprised that there's hippies and little wooden guitar players outside their door? They're freaking out on it. And, you know, this stuff has always been here. And what are they doing here?
They don't want your kind around here.
What are they doing here? That's what I wonder, you know. It's kind of like those guys that walk down the mall and say, fuck the hippies, you know, and I think, what do you mean? This is hippie town, you know. Fuck the, you're outnumbered, buddy.
Yeah. Here, here. Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Ran into my teacher just the other day. Hadn't met since high school, so we had a lot to say. And the first thing that he asked me, after shaking both my hands, was, are you doing something with your life? Because playing in a rock and roll band. I said, there's so many things I could do, I don't know how to begin to tell you. So many choices, I hear voices tell me about a new career. I can make a new one every other year. I could design a billboard sign for filter cigarettes. I spend my days thinking up new ways of collecting overdue debts. I could design skyscrapers, fill them up with piles of papers, high above the petrol vapors. I could design army tanks, but as they say in the USA, no thanks. I could teach psychology as a way to earn a buck. Although I suppose I'd do more good than drive in a semi-truck. I could teach auto mechanics, but it's such a panic, and who needs more cars? We'd be better off with more bars, but not much, so I say, like Dutch, name the doctor. I could be an editor, or a short-term loan creditor, and learn how to lie all the time. I could become a cop and learn how to stop everything people do except crime. I can analyze products that produce disease, and if they're declared illegal, I could ship them overseas. I can make a movie showing just how groovy life in California can be. I could pursue the dance, but I'll say same crime. Merci. Exasperated, finally, my friend was turning blue. Enough, he cried, now tell me what it is that you wanna do. I said, there's something wrong with your question, don't you see? There's nothing, really nothing that I can do, but maybe, just maybe. General strike until the country stops, or bulldoze all the auto plants and plant some other crops, or blow it up like a big balloon and blow until it pops. Put the president and the senators inside a big museum, and it pay $1.50 if we really want to see them. Pentagon on the tip of a little silicon chip, and then run it through a computer, or better yet, a roto-rooter. And convert the corporate heroes into big, bright, beautiful zeros. Abolish the dollar and the white collar. Tear down every jail, tear down Harvard and Yale. That's what we can do. And then when we are through, there will be not a trace. And we'll put in its place what those folks in outer space call the human race.
And that was Dave Lippmann from his album Straight from the Lip from the 80s, but how little things have changed, except, of course, we got a proud president marching through Iraq. Or I should say, no, he's seated safely in the White House. He has, what, 100,000 troops and 100,000 more coming to Iraq. But then again, most of you out there all know that. It's Free Radio Santa Cruz you're listening to, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris, and this is Bathrobe Spears Broadside, Sunday show that runs until 1 here on Free Radio. Call-in number, 427-3772. I spoke earlier about the Counterpunch website, www.counterpunch.org, and I'm going to read you something from that website, the Counterpunch War Diary by Alexander Cockburn, or Coburn, depending on how you pronounce his name. I'm never quite sure about that. He's a columnist who actually... used to live in Capitola. I don't know if he still lives around here, but he's got some great stuff. The situation of the U.S.-UK invading force can be assessed as difficult. The U.S. 3rd Infantry Division, the Marines Division, the 101st Airborne continue to be plagued by stretched supply lines, which on Friday saw one Marine unit entirely immobilized by lack of diesel fuel and the food down to one meal a day, with the MREs being decried by soldiers as not fit for human consumption. Disorganization is rife. The 3rd Infantry Division marches up one side of the Euphrates while their baggage and supplies proceed up the other, which renders bridges more, quote, strategic than ever. The helicopter assaults on the Iraqi Medina Division left on one account 7 still serviceable. 2 helicopters were lost in the attack and 26 were damaged. It is becoming clear that last week's violent sandstorm was a very serious blow to the invaders. The Iraqis were able to reinforce their defenses around Najaf, an assault launch... some damaging attacks. U.S. high-tech equipment has been seriously degraded by the sand. Perennial warnings about excessive reliance on high-tech weaponry and the hype of a supposed revolution in military affairs are now returning in force. The U.S.-UK forces have taken no major town, are being harassed by guerrilla forces, and now menaced by suicide units. 5 soldiers of the 3rd Infantry Division were killed by one such unit on a highway north of Najaf. The British are attempting to win hearts and minds in Basra by aiming their artillery at the food warehouses and attempting to reduce the city by plague, endeavoring to cut off the water supply. A missile killed 200 in a shelter in Basra, allegedly a command and control center, which may by U.S.-UK speak, may be by U.S.-UK speak for a civilian shelter, as with the Emiria shelter in Baghdad in 1991. And I apologize for my mispronunciation of these names. If somebody has the proper pronunciation, let me know. Even the very base of the supply line in Kuwait is a choke point, not just in the crowded and potentially dangerous Persian Gulf, but in the port of Kuwait, which has only 21 landing berths. Behind the steady stream of all according to plan and calm and orderly advance press releases being pumped out of Qatar, always excepting Wallace's dissenting squeak that the war wasn't going according to war game scenarios, and the Pentagon, there is extreme nervousness among senior